Hey, this is Chris Manning from Lockdown Cavs here. Coming up in today's show, a little bit of talk about the weekend, including Kevin Porter Jr.'s injury, and a lot about Kevin Love, who is being pretty dramatic right now, and that whole situation with him is very dramatic. That and more on today's Lockdown Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, Evan, let's start with this. I'm just going to tell people off the bat. This is not going to be the most fun Locked On Cavs that we have done.
No.
This weekend, I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, took us down a darker path than I think we were on maybe a couple days ago. Things have just gotten a little bleaker than they were. Do you agree with me on that?
It's just like, I'm trying to find the words here. No, it's just an overall just not a good weekend if you're a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because even leading up to last night's game was a spectacle in itself, and then Kevin Love's on-court actions just caused an avalanche of people over-speculating and reading too much into things, and then the Cavs and players giving non-answers about that just makes the whole situation a lot more frustrating than it needs to be. And then the Kevin Porter news is just devastating, and I feel so bad for him because he's having such a good rookie year, and he's one of the few, if not only, bright spot on this Cavs roster. So it just sucks.
Yeah. We'll get into the Kevin Love stuff. Basically, today's show is going to be a lot of Kevin Love stuff. I think that is the dominant Cavs story of the weekend. They did play two games. They played Saturday against OKC, losing. A lot of Kevin Love stuff happened in that one. And then there's also the Larry Nance injury update. We'll get to Tyler Cook is now on the full roster, which I think signifies something that we'll talk about. But Kevin Porter Jr. goes down with an injury on Sunday. His knee buckled under him. You can find the clip. It's not like the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's not good. Basically, at this time, we're recording this about 9:30 p.m. on Sunday. We don't know exactly what the extent of this injury is. We don't know everything that's going on with his injury. I would expect, we probably don't get an update on him maybe until tomorrow sometime, maybe Tuesday. But Evan's right in saying that he is the bright spot, one of the bright spots of this Cavs season. And just from a practical standpoint, like if he misses any significant amount of time, not only is that a really, really bad thing for his for the Cavs and his rookie year and his development process, which I think has come along a really nice way, but it leaves a big hole in the Cavs rotation.
Yeah, no, it really does. And that's the other thing. Like I was listening to I watched the game from home tonight, and I was listening to Angel Gray give an update. Yeah. But that's the beauty of us recording with time still going, oh, the Cavs actually took the lead. But Angel Gray said, like, oh, just this short bench is even shorter now. So I guess we're going to see a lot more from maybe Tyler Cook, probably some more burn from Brandon Knight at this point. But the Cavs have a thin rotation, especially with Larry Nance out for at least 2 weeks maximum. We don't know what's going on with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. They said it was illness, but I feel like he was just getting rest on a back-to-back. So, I mean, that's fine and all well and good, but yeah, no, Kevin Porter was a meaningful and serious part of this rotation, and I don't know. If Dylan Windler isn't coming back anytime soon, I guess it's going to be soaking up those minutes by committee and just figuring out something to make it work.
So I would say this is you'll see a lot more Alphonso McKinney would be one of the things I would guess you would see. I think also you just look at the injury. The thing that bums me most out about this, and again, we do not know exactly what the injury is. Like maybe this is just a knee sprain and he misses a couple weeks. But if you watch the clip, I just rewatched. You can find that on Reddit. He knows immediately that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just see him coming around. He gets the ball, and as Robert Covington is coming to pressure him, KPJ lets go of the ball and immediately goes to and grabs to his knee and goes down to the ground and is clearly in pain. That is just like not a good indicator of anything.
Spencer Davies,
that's just a really, really big bummer. All around. I don't know if they're like you and I were texting and planning this out. Like there's very little that could have like made this game like more less fun to watch and kind of less encompassing that stuff. This is one of those things that like him getting hurt or like Garland getting hurt or something. Those are the things that can happen. And KBJ getting hurt like that is just like, it took us from like the 3-game winning streak feels like it was a month ago. We're kind of back into like last season where a lot of this feels very meaningless. And that's not a fun place to be. It's not a fun place for us to talk about. I'd rather talk about something where there's some depth to it. And this like undercuts that to a large degree.
No, I totally agree. And I didn't mean to cut you off before, but like, no, it seems like a serious injury, at least serious enough. Shout out to our guy, Spencer Davies. Always there covering the team and giving the best coverage on Twitter. Everyone should give him a follow at Spin Davies. But he said you could hear KPJ audibly yell in pain, and if you could hear it from the press box, you know. I mean, the press box is close enough, and I'm sure you can hear some noise, but like that's worrisome enough. Then a bunch of players started motioning for the training staff to come check on him right away, and then he can't even apply pressure to it when walking off the court. So it's just all around, it's just like I keep coming back to it. It just sucks. It just genuinely sucks because I've had a lot of fun just watching Kevin Porter grow and evolve as the season's gone on, and my biggest fear right now is that this is going to end his rookie campaign. And with the way the team might be headed post-trade deadline, it's going to be pretty dire to find some bright spots other than just like the young guys having good games. But like these are going to be some brutal losses between now and then. And just to have one of those things to look forward to taken away from us like that, it's just not fun at all.
Yeah, I also would say too, he's really fun. I find him like out of the younger guys, he's probably the most fun to talk to. You've talked to Windler. I've talked to Windler once. You've talked to him more than I have. I find KPJ like a very engaged interview subject, which I just appreciate. You know, not every guy is like that.
Yeah.
As a media member, I just like having that guy around to talk to and develop some kind of rapport with. That for me is a fun thing. As we kind of wrap up this first segment, Evan, you look at this weekend, anything else to you when you think about this weekend of Cavs basketball, the lost OKC, a game again, we don't know the end of that game yet because we just decided to record. You know, they're down by 2 right now with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth. But when you think about this weekend, does anything else from this weekend at all pop out to you?
Well, Dante Exum is having himself.
Aside from the Kevin stuff, we're gonna talk about a bunch.
Yeah, Kevin and Kevin, just real bummers in the city of Cleveland this weekend. But no, Dante Exum, as we're recording this right now, has 28 points with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And he's 4-4 from 3-point range and 11-13 from the floor. So, hey, go off, dude. I think we've touched on this before. I'm not expecting Dante Exum to be a world beater, but he's a guy who's had a lot of his career and opportunity taken away from him because of injury. So if he's able to have a big night like this, and if it's in a confidence booster going forward, because he's another guy who's probably going to be getting a lot more minutes with KPJ possibly being sidelined for the foreseeable future for now. So just having that confidence and comfort going forward, there's my positive gleam to an overall crappy weekend of Cavaliers basketball. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, it was I would say I went to the game with my wife on Saturday just like to go with a couple friend of ours, and like the Mark Price bobblehead's really nice.
Oh, that's good.
That's one of my takes. you know, I think the Larry Nance thing is a bummer. It feels like this and the KPJ thing is really just undercutting that bench unit that we were like, yes, this is like something they can hang their hat on. To talk about Carter Rodriguez, to mention Carter Rodriguez. He said like that lineup just had made sense, and the Cavs don't have a lot of those, and that's like gone now. You know, like 2/5 of that is cut out.
And just that continuity going forward, just the lack of that, it sucks.
And I would say Tyler Cook being converted from a 2-way deal, which they now could go sign another one if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Prorated, I believe, the number of days that player could be in the NBA, but you could still go get someone else. Him being brought up and him being like a minutes filling power forward feels like a sign of things that are coming.
No, I'd agree. And I think we're about to touch on that in the next segment, but I would agree. It feels like, excuse me, it's just a sign of things to come. And I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens because Dean Wade got 3 minutes of burn against Oklahoma City, but hasn't even touched the floor tonight. So I feel like maybe they feel more comfortable going forward with Tyler Cook over Dean Wade, who I still believe is on his two-way deal. So he's probably going to just end up. I imagine that's close to expiring at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is just like one of those. This is just like a weird game. This is just one of those games. Like they come all the way back, and it's just like I don't quite know what's going on. They're down by 5 right now, but
yeah,
I guess Evan, when I think about this weekend, one of the things that I hope goes on with Cleveland is that like at least this kind of stays somewhat better than it did last year, but I don't quite know. I don't know. I'm my optimism of that happening is just a little less high than it was.
Oh no, mine's a lot lower than it was, and I think maybe this Kevin Porter injury is a little bit of a darker cloud on top of an already dark cloud going forward. But I guess a positive from this is Cleveland hit 10 wins last year after losing 41 games. They hit 10 wins way before that. But I have to keep thinking in the front of my mind that we have a little over a month until the trade deadline, and this roster is going to probably look dramatically different in terms of obviously in personnel and talent as well. And if they seed winning towards player development, it's just going to get a lot worse. And hopefully it just doesn't reach an ultimate breaking point before that actually happens. But I don't know. It's just like, I'm just looking at the box score right now as we talk about this, and I'm just trying to like find something good and noteworthy to talk about other than Dante Exum. I mean, Colin Sexton's having an all right game against
Exum
Minnesota.
Exum being good is fun. I will say that. That's very fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, baby Shaq has 15 and 12 right now in 25 minutes, so there's always that.
Sean Kemp. I'm motioning to replace baby Shaq with Croatian Sean Kemp.
I mean, he's a box score legend, that Ante Zizek, but I will call him Croatian Sean Kemp going forward, no problem. But, it's just, I'm trying to polish a turd into a diamond here, and it's still a turd right now. But, I mean, I'm just concerned with what's going to happen going forward. Hopefully, after this trade deadline, there's just a little bit of stability, and dare I say it, for once in my life with the Cavs, normalcy. And that's something I'd love to have because, you know, this isn't a very good basketball team. And for the most part, they're largely irrelevant on the grand scope of, like, national NBA coverage. I don't like it when the team I get to cover is in making headlines for all the wrong reasons. Or we all know what we're talking about. It's the elephant in the room. But, like, just some normalcy, just like a I just want it to be a dull moment. Like, hey, how is practice? How are the games going? Oh, we're losing, but hey, at least the young guys look good. I mean, I'd gladly take that, just have a quiet end to this season because it's probably on its way trending down to be definitely over. And I don't know. It's just...
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Gilgeous Alexander looked pretty good, and I feel like I called that one because he's been phenomenal this season for Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
just to jump back.
I've been thinking a lot about what he would look like if he had been the pick instead of Colin. But that's another earth where that exists. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll come back talk about more to wrap up this first segment. This is what the great Robbie Callen tweeted about Cavs Wolves. Quote: Cavs Wolves without Love and Towns is a high level summer league game. Put it in Thomas Zemak. That is about
that's
right.
We'll be right. That's back. Fair. That's fair.
Fair. It's gorgeous. All right, we are back with Locked On Cavs. Kevin Love, Evan. Okay, so I don't actually know. Where were you in the arena Saturday?
I was not. I was with family because my brother is on winter break and trying to spend as much time with him as I can before he goes back to school. But
that's very fair. For context, both of us like have like real jobs that we also have to do sometimes. So that's if we're not there because we just value sleep. Sleep is important. Spencer, credit to that guy for sleeping like none. Okay, so when I was at the game, I felt like the Kevin Love, I just want to start with this because it just was feel like the moment of the weekend.
Yeah.
Him like running up, getting the ball, and then whipping it back to Jetty did not like register to me as like super bizarre until like 10 minutes later.
Same here. I was watching the game live.
That to me just says a lot. Like, he can say what he says about the Instagram post. That feels like the biggest thing.
No, it just, like, I wasn't, I guess, like, yeah, I just wasn't surprised or shocked when it happened. And I think I have to give a nice little shout out to the gift that always is Cavs Twitter, because once it started gaining traction and I watched the clip just in isolation by itself, I'm like, oh, that's not a good look at all. And then, just to give context, earlier that day, or really moments before the game, Shams Charania and Joe Varden of The Athletic dropped a bombshell, like they did a few weeks ago with John Beilein, on the Cavs, talking about how Kevin Love confronted Kobe Altman and said he's just fed up and frustrated with the direction and everything with the way the team's going. And I feel like, just based on what I've gathered and who I've kind of talked to behind the scenes, this isn't a surprise at all, and this is kind of a long time coming. But once you watch that clip in isolation and you heap on top of that this story that was spiraling out of control because it happened moments before the game, it's kind of like there was the NFL playoffs last night, but I mean, it was kind of a slow news cycle for basketball for a Saturday night, and it's just boom, boom, boom. And then that was just the talk of every social sphere when it comes to the Hoops coverage. And then it's just carried over into today as well. And that's just pretty much been the topic of discussion whenever people approach me about the Cavs or just want to talk to them about it. So, no, like you said, like, I didn't notice it at first because I was just watching the game. But then, like, I watched that clip in isolation a few times and I just kept thinking, like, yeah, that's not a good look. And people are going to blow this out of proportion. And lo and behold, they really blew it out of proportion.
Yeah.
I don't know. And just like the whole...
When I read that... Sorry, go ahead.
Just like the whole Instagram post thing too. And then the whole non-answer thing. And then John Beilein giving, like, did you... Again, shout out to Spencer because he always transcribes all the audio from John Beilein's pre-game and post-game press conferences, but he transcribed the quotes Beilein gave before tonight's game against Minnesota. And it's just, everyone's pretending everything's fine, but there's all these reports and you can watch this going on the floor that clearly not everything's fine. And I don't know what you want me to believe at this point. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I wish people would just kind of realize that.
Yeah. Okay. So the one thing people should just know, John Beilein and Kevin Love are going to, I don't want to say lie, but they're not going to, like, tell you the truth when they're asked about this because they have no incentive to do so.
No.
If John Beilein is like, Kevin Love hates Colin Sexton, we're dealing with it, that's just, like, not going to do them any favors. It's just going to, just blow up. We sort of know that this league works via league. I don't always think that's the most... It's one of the things I don't quite like about covering professional sports is that it is just very gossipy a lot. I don't always enjoy that. It's not, like, why I like this. It's, like, I enjoy, like, the Succession. I think, like, there could be a great show that's, like, Succession, but in the sports world, and some of this is why. But it's, like, I think some of that is not what I particularly love about this. I also think, like, when I think a lot about this, I think I can, like, empathize with Kevin in that he's frustrated. I can understand that, like, playing with Colin Sexton seems like it's frustrating. The whole thing about, like, I also just, like, look at this and I'm like, I get, like, he's already got his money, all this stuff. I just, like, don't understand, like, people pointed out, like, the Henson Pett not, you know, running back on defense the one time when he didn't get a pass in a short roll. All that kind of stuff. But you look at, like, how Tristan's approached this. You look at how, like, Chris Paul has handled this in OKC, a place he, like, didn't just say he wanted to go, right?
Yeah.
You don't really hear, like, the chaos about this. And it just seems like there are healthier ways for everyone to deal with this. And I think there's certainly probably some fault here with the Cavs. There's certainly some fault with Kevin Love. There's certainly some fault with, like, the overall culture. The Cavs are right to, like, talk about culture a lot, but this is just one of those things where it's like they don't have that. And I think stuff like this feels more like it happened when, like, you don't have an environment where, like, you can actually, like, figure this stuff out. And instead, it spells it out of the court. It spells it into Kevin Love posting pictures of Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie on his Instagram. Like, that's where we're at. And that's just, like, that's so freaking weird.
No, I would agree. It's just I don't get it, man. Like, everything with this basketball team has to just be weird. It has to be bizarre. Nothing can just be normal. And the Chris Paul situation, I feel like, is a fair comparison in this case, because by all accounts, Chris Paul was in a solid enough situation in Houston. Also, by the way, Cleveland's down 13 with 46 seconds to go, so I think we can call this one. Good job, Minnesota. But no, like, Chris Paul got traded to Oklahoma City. It seemed like a pretty dire situation for the most part, and I haven't heard a peep. I haven't really heard any problems at all. Like, I get it. Kevin hasn't publicly worn a That's All Folks shirt, and it hasn't gotten to the point where the team tells him not to come in anymore and exiles him like J.R. Smith or anything like that. But it just feels so fake and superficial, and the organization B-line and players on the roster saying, like, oh, we have a good culture and we're trying to build a successful, sustainable culture and foundation. But you're undermining that process when one of the biggest voices and the biggest person on your roster is clearly unhappy, and it just trickles down from there. It feels so fake and superficial. And it's just frustrating, man. Like, I get it. Like you said, I get why Kevin's frustrated. Based on who I've talked to, he's been frustrated since last spring. I think Justin Rowan has said it a few times, but, like, apparently he motherfucked Kobe Altman up and out of the building at Cleveland Clinic Courts on exit interview day and made his intentions clear that he doesn't want to be a part of this much longer. And then he just took the approach of playing the company guy and trying his best just to keep a straight face. But it's just weird. I just wish there was a dull moment with Cleveland basketball where there's a veteran who wants to be moved, but the Cavs will try their best to. And at this point, I feel like it's gotten so toxic and so public that if Kevin Love isn't moved by the trade deadline, I will actually be stunned, because he clearly doesn't want to be here. He'll keep playing and he'll keep putting up his numbers statistically, and he'll keep putting up superficial Instagram posts about how he loves all of his teammates and all this other jazz. But you gotta
just killed me.
It just, yeah, no, when I saw that, I raised an eyebrow and I said, huh, who put you up to post this? That's like, and that's the worst thing, because I'm just like, this comes off as so fake. But the Cavs and Kevin Love are at an impasse at this point, and there's nowhere to go for them. This relationship can't be mended at this point, and it's just for the best for all parties involved just to move on. And you can make an argument for all parties involved that somebody was disserviced or let down or slighted, and I don't know. It's just super frustrating. I just wish things could just be chill for once.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm of two minds on the Kevin thing. Is like, I think anyone with a brain could have seen that this was coming.
Yeah.
You know? This was all the Cavs bottoming out the way they did was always gonna be on the table. On the other side of it, it's like, I wonder if it would have just been better for everybody, like, if this whole extension thing was just misguided from the beginning.
That's, see, the thing is, I don't know, because from what I've heard, and it kind of feels like it lines up a little bit, and based on Channing Frye going off on Twitter last night.
Channing Frye spilling the tea.
Yeah, no, he spilled the whole damn kettle at this point, but, like, Channing alluded to the fact that he and maybe some of the veterans, and based on what I've heard, just a lot of veterans in Cleveland's locker room last year, Kevin included, I'm assuming at this point, believe the Cavs had a legitimate shot to make the playoffs last year. But he broke his foot in the preseason and then was sidelined after game 5, I believe, until early to mid-February, and that kind of derailed the entire process, and then Cleveland then started shipping out all these veterans as quickly as they could. And then they had such a small sample size to work with Kevin last year that I don't think it was realistic for the Cavs to move him at that point. And then even this year, it's just, I think it's just, it's reaching critical mass. And I just kind of want this to get over with now. I just want things to quiet down. That's all I want.
Kevin Love getting hurt, like, doomed all of this. Like, there was no way they're making the playoffs if Kevin Love gets hurt like that. You know, like, when he gets hurt like that, it's over.
They had a slim chance last year in my mind, and, like, granted, I think even the organization was saying, like, oh, we could probably make the Eastern playoffs, but the chance was so slim, just the way that roster was constructed, and then as soon as Kevin went down, I'm just like, all right, well, let's start sucking. And like I said last year, they didn't win 10 games until they lost 41, so they weren't very good last year as soon as Kevin Love went down, and then it's just going to be more of the same this year once he's actually out of town. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're okay. So I think the only thing left to say here is, and we'll kind of just wrap it up the whole show, I think, on this. We were going to do another segment, but I think we can just kind of hit on it here.
Okay.
The only way to go forward is Kevin Love goes.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? Like that's what has to happen here. I think like trying to like send him home would be very bizarre. I think anything like that, I think he just has to be here, and I think everyone has to act like adults. Like, I think one of the things that like that I think if there's a critique of Kevin is that he could, if I think a very fair critique of Kevin is that like he's making this messier than it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think if they can avoid that for like 2 weeks and flip him to Portland or wherever, like, you know, that's better for everybody involved. It's not helping anybody for that to just be so brazenly public. And like, you can put the Instagram post out all you want. Like, he's clearly not happy. I will believe his body language on the court, the Joker Instagram post, leaks, because again, that's how information so much comes out. Like,
yeah. Channing Frye was a gold mine last night. We, think a lot
Channing
of
Frye, good friend of Kevin Love.
Yeah. No, I think he would know best if his best friend, yeah, I'd say best friend, they're pretty tight, is pretty unhappy. So
I think the only move is to move Kevin Love, and it's to do it in the way that is the most functional way possible.
I'd agree.
It sucks that like two out of the three members of the three most important players of the last decade are going to leave the team on weird terms. That's not like a fun way for this to go for the franchise. I think there's more in my mind. I think there's a lot more that we don't know. From the Cavs side of this that we just don't know yet. You know, I think there's a lot to learn. I also just like, don't know. I don't quite know. Like, how, like if this is an effort to, I wonder if the Cavs feel pressured to do it now in a way they didn't before, even though they've been signaling for like 2 months that they wanted to make a trade.
I feel like, I don't know. Maybe I'll spill a little tea here, but his agent was at the arena for a little while too. And people are kind of like, oh, why is Jeff Schwartz at the arena? I'm like, put two and two together here, guys. Cause that's when the Bayline expose from Varden dropped. I'm like, he's clearly not happy, and I think they're trying to apply pressure externally on the front office, and I think this relationship can't be salvaged at this point, at least in the court of public opinion. People either on Team Kevin Love or they're on Team Cavalier at this point, and I think just it's in the best interest of all parties involved just to quietly and quickly get him out of town as possible. Hopefully try not to make this even uglier. And then maybe I'd like to say Kevin's a lot more of an adult and a lot more mature than Kyrie. So going forward, Kevin will actually play when he's in Cleveland and won't say bad things about Cleveland. But I just, yeah, this relationship has been over for a while. Maybe it's like that. This is a really sad example, but it's a marriage that, you know, it's been over, a relationship, you know, that's been over, but you're trying to stay together to see if you can still make it work, even though you're not, you know, it's not going to work. You just got to rip the Band-Aid off at this point. Just say, enough's enough. And like you said, the Cavs have...
Little did we know Noah Baumbach made a movie about the Cavs and Kevin Love breaking up.
Yeah.
Marriage Story 2019.
Great movie. But
great movie.
But it sucks. Like you said, it just two of the three members of the big three, because I think LeBron just gets a pass. He left. I mean, that whole Lakers announcement was a lot. Always will be obviously better than how he handled going to Miami. But Kyrie leaving town was in such weird circumstances and just left a lot of bitter taste in everyone's mouth. And he didn't make things better than the way things are just kind of escalating with Kevin right now. It's just, I don't know if it's going to get any better at this point. And like, I'm firmly in the camp that this relationship just can't be salvaged. And it's just time to move on, and it sucks. And hopefully Cleveland can do him a solid and move him to a contender. And then the Cavs can get a decent enough return package. And then you guys thought tonight was ugly. Boy, oh boy, is it going to get uglier once Kevin Love, then maybe Tristan Thompson, and then maybe John Henson are all out of town. And then you're watching, man, Brandon Knight too, but Brandon Knight tries his hardest. And if Kevin Porter's sideline, it's just, there's some dark days ahead of us in Cleveland. And it's just, what a happy note to end this podcast on. But it's just, overall, was not a good weekend for Cavs basketball.
Would you send Kevin home if he does something like he did the other day again?
I see, the thing is, I read Justin Rowan's piece on Fear the Sword about how things are boiling over.
Good piece.
How,
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. I mean, I don't want to inflate Justin's ego more than it already is, but he does a good job every time he writes. But it's just, I feel like with JR last year when they did that, after the whole finals gaffe and just, you know, his season and just statistically just falling off a cliff, like, it was easier for the Cavs to say, you know what, you're not doing a lot for us, just go home. And just, we'll pay you to stay at home and post weird stuff on your Instagram about how you're draining out your bar and all this other stuff. But, and then go on IG Live and say you never want your number retired by Cleveland, which, you know, cuts deep, because I made a case on this very podcast a while ago that JR could have his number retired, but whatever. Just jumping back to Kevin, I think it'd be bad optics for the team, because the situation is so volatile and toxic enough that people either are going to take it the wrong way if they tell him not to come in, or it's either it's going to make the franchise look weak, or it's just going to piss off Kevin even more, that it's just going to make it even worse. And then just to reinforce that, they team through Kelsey Russo at least said, or Kelsey Russo, the Athletic, said that from her sources in the organization, they aren't going to be finding Kevin for what happened yesterday in practice with Kobe Altman, or shoot around it with Kobe Altman, and at least from what I'm interpreting. And then the quote-unquote incident from what happened last night when he threw up his hands and then ran to the top of the perimeter and then rocketed that pass to Jetty. I just feel like the Cavs' hands are kind of tied here. They can't tell him to go home because it does affect their performance. And I think I also have the fear that maybe this bad body language and attitude could tank his overall draft, or not draft, but trade value. And you got to keep him out there just to show like he still got it. But I don't know. It's just, it's such an awkward and just ugly situation overall. What do you think they should do? Do you think they should just send him home and tell him to stay home?
Yeah, I don't think you can, but you know, stuff like Saturday doesn't help. We'll see if he plays Tuesday. We'll see what he looks like. We'll see what he says next time he has to talk. But I think the sooner this all gets resolved, the better for everybody. I think including us, because I just like would like to figure out what's next more than like keep discussing this over and over again.
I agree. But hey, just real quick, when Jordan Clarkson posted on Instagram about that Frank Sinatra song, he was traded 2 days after. And apparently JC commented the title of the same song in that Joker post yesterday. So Kevin could get traded tomorrow, and then it's just the kiss of death. So maybe that's the premonition for what's coming. So who knows? Because I read the post initially before this whole article came out from The Athletic that, Oh, he's smiling through the pain playing through the Cavs, but it's the Joker, so he wants to get traded to Denver to play with Nikola Jokic. And shout out to Nick Crane, who writes with us at Forbes, and he's one of the hosts of The Uncontested. He DM'd me on Twitter and asked me, he's like, "Do you think that's what's going on?" I'm like, "I told him that's my thought process." He's like, "You know, I think you're the only person who read that." I'm like, "You know what? You're probably right." So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. It's not going to be fun. We'll see where that happens. The Cavs play a couple times a week. We have some guests coming up that I'm pretty excited about. Perhaps we'll do a mailbag too. You can drop those questions into lockedoncavs@gmail.com. But for myself, for Evan, this is your Locked On Cavs for January 6th. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.